and talk radio about all things all genders. This is Intravenous, live on CJSF 90.1 FM, discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through a feminist lens. Our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemon.
This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, community radio from Simon Fraser University.
Burnaby is located on the ancestral and stolen homelands of the Halkomelem and Squamish-speaking peoples. I am Stella.
And I'm Logan.
And today we are taking over Intravenous, Robin's show. She so graciously allowed us to. I think we are going to play a song before we get into talking, trying to follow suit with her normal show traditions. But just so everyone knows out there, the topic we're going to be diving into is a bit about women in the media and stuff like that.
Yeah, we'll see where it goes from there.
So
the first song we have today for you is Milk and Honey by Holly Cook. A friend showed this to me and I really like it. I hope you guys enjoy.
Please enjoy.
Every day.
Welcome back, everybody. You are tuning in to CJSF 90.1 FM Intravenous with Stella
and Logan.
And we hope you enjoyed that last song.
That was Milk and Honey by Holly Cook.
Yep. And yeah, so before the break, we were saying we were going to talk a bit about representation in the media, especially or specifically regarding women. And I think potentially the source of this idea was just I have recently been watching a lot of or rewatching a lot of children's movies, and you definitely see it through a completely different lens when you're older, and you see a lot of just very blatant sexism, I guess, that kind of flies over your head when you're younger. And I just thought it was interesting how much we just don't realize and how much is just subliminal.
Yeah, definitely. Like, just looking back and seeing, you know, how much young girls are conditioned to just be complacent with the labor that they're doing at home, and they're not even, you know what I mean? Like, even as a child, girls are pushed into this whole, like, oh, go play with your dolls. Like, we're going to set you up with a little kitchen, and mm-hmm. that's going to be your playtime. Like, the way to have fun is to raise the children and, like, clean up the house, even, like, as a kid. You know what I mean? And then boys are taught to go play with, like, are given trucks and everything like that. And it's very much, like, push it into like the official labor market, while girls are more pushed into the, you know, domestic sphere of labor that is not commodified in a sense.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think that that is definitely a way to potentially disempower women. And I've been seeing this in movies as well, when you just look at the gender dynamics and the gender roles, like you were talking about. Like, it is completely reflected and pushed in our media for sure. And I don't know, have you seen any children's movies where you know, take a second look at it, you're like, wait, this seems like there's a lot of messaging here that needs to be unpacked in some way?
Yeah, I think, like, most Disney movies, a lot of animated movies, even when they portray it as something that is, you know, Stella and I were talking earlier about how even movies that, you know, call themselves feminist or advertise themselves as, like, 21st century, you know, we respect women. We think of them as equal. And then how they're portrayed is very much, like, in just such a passive way. Like, mm-hmm. you are waiting on a man to help you, or I don't know. We were talking about some of the movies that we watched in elementary school or high school, and it was like how, like, for example, Mean Girls, you know, you see the pretty girl has to be mean, and it's just kind of pushing this one dimensionality of womanhood in the sense, like, being mean you could think of as some kind of subtraction from personality. So the only thing a woman is granted is attractiveness, is mm-hmm. sexuality. And so when she has, you know, gained only this like meager portion of personhood, just this surface level, you know, physicality, then her personality is subtracted from. And mm-hmm. she is given like a negative trait.
Definitely. And I think it's totally taking away her personhood, like you said, but then it's also at the same time being beautiful or being pretty in movies a lot of the time is kind of giving like a piece of the woman to all the men in the movies too. Like, it's not like she belongs completely to herself. Like, I think this goes not even in movies, but just in general, but this quality of being attractive or being hot or being sexy or whatever, it's never fully yours. So even in that sense, yeah. she's not, like, those characters aren't even have this one full, even if that's their like one unique trait is being pretty or being feminine, like that's still not even theirs. It's not even really, they don't really have any ownership over it.
Yeah, fully. And then I feel like that goes so much back to, you know, women as object stems from this. Like we always talk about, oh, I feel so objectified. It's like, well, so much of our institutions and systems reinforce and kind of maintain this idea of women as property. You know, I mean, that's been going back for so long and continues to this day. You know, women will take the name of a man when they marry. There's just so many concrete examples out there that show that, you know, women are still regarded as property in so many senses. And then I find it really interesting, you know, how in advertisement you'll see like women almost trying to like take back this role. And I definitely kind of feel it where it's like claiming, you know, my own, like, I want to dress how I want and it's for me. And it's like that is always like a question in my mind, because I'm like, you know, how much is it for me, or how much is it just like sticking with the hegemonic, you know, Eurocentric view of beauty standard?
Yeah, totally, because you're still, you can't completely de-influence yourself from all of the conditioning that you've been through your entire life and then just say you're dressing for yourself. Because I think me and Logan have talked about this a lot, like just being by yourself in your room, you're not even really thinking that much about how you look or like what outfit you're wearing or how you look good. Like it's more about when you go out into the world and how you want to represent yourself is very much seen through how you want other people to see you. And I think it's pretty impossible to say, oh, I'm just doing this all for myself. And then especially adding that on, like adding on to that, not doing that for men in any way too, is, I think it's hard. Yeah,
fully. And I feel like, you know, with liberal feminism, there is so much push of like this individuality almost, like liberal feminism. And I'll just give like a brief description, I guess, of liberal feminism just for those out there, because I feel like people just use this word and bounce it around. But let's see. I guess you could say liberal feminism is very individualistic, and it kind of posits patriarchy and gender oppression as between men and women, and it seeks equality through political reform. So it doesn't question the system itself. And mm-hmm. So I feel like within liberal feminism, there is, you know, the main tenet is individualism. And so it kind of pushes this, like, your choice, like, choice feminism. So like we can do whatever we want to do and that's okay. And it's mm-hmm. like hell, oh. Yeah, like heck yeah, that's great. Good catch there. But that doesn't really interrogate why you want to do it in the first place. Like, why do you want to dress like you're dressing for yourself? I mean, I say like I think I'm dressing for myself, and then I'm like
yeah,
you know, I mean, like I wear things that are probably going to appeal to the male gaze, and sometimes I'm like, oh, I look good, but then it's like, well, I need to understand that like the reason that I think I look good is because the idea of beauty is very much like based in this like patriarchal, male oriented, you know, view. And I feel like when you kind of individualize the issue and then almost paint it as each individual's choice, like everyone should have the freedom to do what they want, it's kind of like, well,
mm-hmm.
how did we get to where we want? You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think like there's so many things that are framed as choices, like you were saying, like even wearing makeup in some instances, plastic surgery, certain clothes, and those things for women are like billion-dollar industries, and it's mm-hmm. not an issue between men and women in real life, like interacting necessarily, like when it's on that grand of a scale that this is like very like kind of systemic in the way that like corporations are just profiting off of this, off of women, I guess. And it is just very frustrating to see, I think, when people are saying, okay, yeah, we just need to work it out, make every man less sexist or less this or that, but it's not really gonna fix the whole issue when capitalism is just trying to profit off of women's insecurities and disempower them through that.
Yeah, and I feel like that's such a good point. Like, you know, when we look at socialist feminism and how the economic system is so intertwined with this, you know, gendered oppression, be it like men, women, gender nonconforming people, trans people, like capitalism and class-based society is so invested in this binary division. And then when you think of like, sure, in the 2000s, people think like, oh, you know, there's so much progress. Like, just look at how there's shirts that say feminist on it. You know what I mean? And it's like,
yeah.
Capitalism has gone to the point, like, it is so quick to digest the current climate and spit out something new that can be eaten up by the consumers. You know what I mean? Like, even with, like, people that are going against the binary, even that is becoming commodified in a sense. And it's not that necessarily the society has gotten more lenient. It's just that identity has become so commodified through like its aestheticization, because, you know, within this like individualism of capitalism, we're so obsessed with, you know, how we present ourselves, because if that makes sense. I don't know if that makes much sense. I just started talking and I was like, huh.
No, I see where you're going with it, but I do just have a question, like, how are people outside of the binary commodified?
That's a good question. Let me see. I would say, like, just how companies are pushing, like, using politics to sell. We see a lot of times that, you know, there's, like, this representation in media, which is really wonderful, but when you look at the corporations behind them, like, what are they actually doing for those marginalized groups? You know what I mean? Like, you'll see a Starbucks campaign where they show people of color, but meanwhile they are supporting a genocide. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, totally.
And it's, I guess in that sense, I mean, in the sense that corporations are moving with the times and understanding what they need to do to stay up to date, in the sense that for non-binary people, they might be, you know, selling things that are more androgynous, or, you know, kind of advertising in a more androgynous way to kind of push this image of like acceptance, even though when you really interrogate the processes themselves, they're like pushing such a binary. I don't know if that actually answered your question.
No, I think it did, definitely. Like, the fact that corporations are just kind of following what is becoming, like, more accepted in the mainstream and then just capitalizing off of it, I think is... That definitely makes sense. Like, I'm not... And especially... Well, not especially, but just with anything. Like, even with greenwashing or stuff like that, they're just saying, like, oh... You know, this is an issue now, so we're going to address it in our own way, when it's really just, like, super empty and nothing to back it up. It's just another way to make money. It's very similar to politics, kind of like you were saying, where people just make these empty promises in the hopes that people are just going to keep supporting them, or, like, keep buying stuff from
them. Yeah, and I feel like greenwashing is such a good example of how, like, you know, we see this. Like, I feel like people talk a lot about progress. Like, oh, look at all these corporations that are, oh, like, Starbucks doesn't have plastic straws from, like, what, 10 years ago?
Yeah, that's
very
incredible.
Up to date. Yeah. And it's like these kind of things where, like, for example, that is like, for example, grocery stores started charging for plastic bags. And that is such a perfect example of neoliberalism in the sense that the onus is pushed onto the individual to make those choices to sustain the earth. You know, like, grocery store buyer, you should feel guilty for not having a reusable bag. And if you pay 15 cents, like, that's fine, we're offsetting. But it's not like interrogating. I love that word right now. I feel like I'm in an interrogation room.
You need to interrogate everything.
I think so. I think so.
That's the solution.
Yeah, we're going to put a bright light in here, drag a random person in next session, just asking them about gender.
Yeah, turn up the heat like 50 degrees in here.
Watch out.
Make it a torture.
Could be any one of you.
Yeah.
But in that sense, like, if, like, a corporation won't change the exploitative process, you know, where, like, the intense supply chain that just is brutal to the environment, how many animals are displaced when you have, like you have to clear forests to
for
do
like a
agriculture.
Bag of Doritos.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
Something.
But then it's like all of that environmental pressure is kind of zoomed into one plastic bag, you know, and that's the impact that we can make. But then the corporations don't feel any responsibility, because of course they don't, because under capitalism, mm-hmm. the only thing driving quote unquote progress, you know, that's what we call it, but let's be honest, is the need for profit.
Yeah. It's completely offsetting all of the real issues of capitalism and then just brainwashing people and thinking it's an individual problem, or, you know, we're taking care of it in our own way because we are talking about it, bringing it into the discussion. Mm-hmm. Like, those kind of things are just so frustrating to see, for me at least. Like, okay, yeah, you're talking about it in an actual advertisement, so it's not even anything of substance because you're still trying to like sell something, and it's just so angering.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I think.
Yeah, we've gotten a little off topic.
Yeah,
we'll bring it back.
I think we are on topic for maybe 30 seconds.
There's just so many things.
There's a lot of things out there that we like talking about. But anyways, we're just gonna have a little song break for you guys and for us as well. And this song is "Fever in My Heart" by Julia. So please enjoy.
Thank you.
This is CJSF 90.1 FM. You're here with Stella.
And Logan.
And yeah, if you were tuning in right before that song, that was Fever in My Heart by Julia Julia, by the way. And we were just, talking. We had a general kind of topic to lead us, but obviously when you get excited about something, you can't necessarily stay on topic. But we were trying to talk about representation in the media.
Yeah, and let's see if we can go back to that topic. So I felt like that was such a radio voice for all of you. I think it's really important when we talk about representation in media, at least where I'm coming from, is I don't see media as the place to start. And I think a lot of you guys might agree with this. And of course, we should pursue representation. I mean, that is definitely important for people, you know, to see that out there and for, you know, marginalized people to actually be put in positions of power. But media and culture reflect the material conditions. You know what I mean? Like, it's not that media is like, oh, you see a woman in media. It's not that, oh, finally, like, feminism is taking a stance. It's working women have been organizing all over the world for a long time, and they have been pushing and pushing and striking and, you know, doing militarized efforts, actually fighting back against gendered oppression. And now with, you know, this rejection of the binary, people have been questioning the gendered system itself. And that is, these material conditions have been, like, have resulted in media representation. It's not that, you know, suddenly one day a trans person is a radio host and then we suddenly have, like, equal rights or something. It is simply a reflection.
Yeah, totally. And I think if we want to start with changing the media or changing representation in the media, that is, I guess you could say, more of a top-down approach that is just not going to work when we look at the roots of the problem and think, okay, yeah, just like media, just like art or culture, like anything that shapes our culture, we can't attack basically what is the manifestation of our culture. We have to actually attack or interrogate, you could say.
Such a good word.
Yeah, exactly. Interrogate just the whatever the substance is that makes up our culture. So yeah, it is sometimes interesting to critique the media and look at issues within the media, but it is not necessarily changing the media is going to be kind of impossible without changing where the media comes from.
Yeah, exactly. And when you look at the media fully, I definitely agree, especially when you said that really great word in there. I just caught my attention. Oh, you know, I was like, wow.
If I just say the word interrogate in any of my sentences, I already know you're on my side.
I am on your side no matter what. And I'm sure all of you out listening are too.
Totally. Uh-huh. Who doesn't love that word?
Yeah, and I definitely I definitely agree. And I feel like with media, I've been reading Chomsky lately, as in it's a long drawn out process between my fiction books. Yeah, we don't have to say it on live radio. I'll tell you after. But it's so interesting to think about how media is just so shaped, you know, by the powerful, in the sense, like, when you look at media, you have to kind of, it's very commercialized in that sense. So it's reliant on corporate, you know,